11. We're going to read verses 8, 9, and 10 here today. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have received for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We'd like to bring our sermon here this morning real quickly here on this third point of what it takes to be a giant. We've got just three little points here today, and I hope and pray that it will be a source of help and encouragement for you as well. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, for allowing us the opportunity to gather here at Faith Baptist again and to hear your word. And we pray, Lord, that each and every one of us, myself especially included, that we will open up our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to take in all that you've got for us. And then we will do something with it. We will apply it. We'll go out there and we'll put the shoe leather to the concrete out there and tell someone else about Jesus. That we can start to grow. That we'll become giants of the faith ourselves here. That we can see this church become a giant here in the community. We can certainly do all the advertisement we want. We can think highly of ourselves if we so desire, but it ain't going to mean a thing without lost souls being saved. And we're asking you, Father, please, with your help with this, because that's the ultimate goal, is to see souls saved for you. We can't do it ourselves, but we know that through you we can do all things, and we're certainly looking forward to seeing that happen. We ask you, Father, for all the prayer requests that have been made known and the unspoken, that you would take care of them according to your holy will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. All right. So, we have here this lesson from Abraham's life. And certainly as you go through chapter number 11, Abraham gets probably the most amount of discussion in regards to faith. The close second being Moses. We'll get to Moses when we get to Moses. But Abraham did something that many would consider to be a little bit crazy. I believe that's a technical term, crazy. He's told by God, rise up, take your wife, your possessions, pack it all up, and get moving. I'm going to lead you someplace that I want you to have. Now, he doesn't tell Abraham where it is that he wants him to go. Just get up and go. He doesn't tell him, I've got a job for you. That everything is already set. All you literally have to do is move in. Abraham, I'll get out in a moment here. Get up and go. And that's what Abraham had to do. There was no debate. There was no turning and asking Sarah, hey, what do you think about this? Should we go? I mean, they weren't having a conversation. He just said, yes, Lord. And he got up and went. It's, as we're passing through this life, it's a matter of how we go about things that are going to determine if we become giants of faith like Abraham did here, or if we're going to be cowards of the present. Because that took a lot of guts. Pack up and go somewhere. I remember the first time when I moved out of my parents' house, I knew where I was going. I was uneasy as is then. And when I moved 20 some years ago over here back to Hammond, I knew where I was moving to. I was a little uneasy about it, but I knew where I was going. I had a job. Hey, both times, there was already a job. I had a vehicle this time, a house full of junk to move around and all that stuff there. It was still a little nerve-wracking. I cannot imagine what Abraham had to go through when God said, pack it up and get going. I'll tell you when to stop. But that's what he did because he had faith in God. That's what's going to be required for us, church. If we want to be giants of faith, we're going to need to follow these lessons that Abraham has blazed a trail for us here today. And I want to show you these three things real quickly here, right off the bat. Verse number 8, we find faith's call. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now God had, called him. I want you to come live in this particular land over here. That takes faith to do. He goes and he arrives. He has no children. He's already something of an old man at this time. He's got nothing really to fall back on because as he leaves, they stop off in Haran for a little bit and his dad dies. Okay. Suppose he could turn tail and run back to his family, but what good's that going to do? Yeah, God told me to leave and then dad died, so I decided to come on back. How many of us use easy excuses like that, though, to turn our back on faith's call? Where God has said, hey, I want you to do this, and something comes along the way and it devastates us and we say, forget it, it's too much, it's too hard. But God said, I want you to go where I'm sending you.
Right.
Faith Baptist, God is calling us to something greater. Do we actually believe it? If we actually believe it, are we going to actually do something with it? Because there's more to it. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. What kind of a vision does each one of us have for what we want to see happen here at this church? I mentioned a little while ago here that we'd like to see the Sunday school get started back up. Add a second service. See the pews being packed out. Guess what? Those are common, everyday, run-of-the-mill goals. They don't require faith. That's a wish list. God's calling us to something greater, church. And if we're going to see the something greater, we're going to act upon it. And as we act upon it, we're going to see the wish list begin to be filled out for us. God will do His part if we do our part. And our part is taken and stepping out there in faith, believing that He can do something with it.
Nice. Yeah.
Quick example. Not trying to toot my own horn here. Lord laid it on my heart. Set up that camera over there. I'm not Mr. Popular. I ain't got that many friends on Facebook. I'll be honest with y'all. But it excites me to see 20 or 30 people have watched those videos there. I got no idea where they're at. Some are here in Whiting. Some are Hammond. Other parts of the country, across the globe. But I had to step out on faith that someone would even bother to watch it. But it was a little thing. But if we're faithful in the little things, does the Bible not say that He will give us bigger things to be faithful in?
Right.
But if we're not faithful in the little things, why should He give us the bigger things? Maybe that call is simply us picking up the phone and calling someone, hey, been missing you at church.
Right.
Just want you to know we're praying for you. For an introvert, that's huge. We don't like talking on the phone. Texting is nice, but it can easily be confused. Were they being serious? Were they mad? Are they happy? You know, there's no emotions there. So you actually got to speak the words. And it's But sometimes that's the call of faith. To simply step out and do one little thing for somebody else. And that might lead to the next step, and the next step, and the next step. And that's what Abraham found out here. He answered the call. Left where he was comfortable. Where he had family. Where he had friends. And he's going to go out there, and the only person who will inherit when he dies is a servant. But what happens? He gets out there. Verse number 9 tells us that he began to dwell in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Amazing how well that worked out for him. He ended up not only having a son, but a couple of grandkids too. See, when you're faithful in the one little thing, when faith calls, God will add and add and add. And He wants to do that for us, church. Faith in God produces obedience. And if we are obedient to faith's call, then we are not going to be seesawing back and forth. Well, yeah, I'll do it. No, I won't. Yeah, I'll do it. No, I won't. No, we're going to die to self.
Right.
The inheritance he was called to was far beyond his original home back in Ur of the Chaldees. This was a huge step, a leap of faith. Interesting how that goes. Every time I say that phrase, or leap of faith, I'm so often reminded of that third Indiana Jones movie where he looks down there and says, no one could jump over this. And he says, it's a leap of faith. And then he takes the step, and sure enough, the rock is right there. Everything was the same color, so it didn't look like there was a bridge there. It looked like you've got to jump 50 feet. But really, it's just how the rock was. But when you're a giant, leaps aren't so far to leap. I made that quite easy. But I bet if I got Josiah up here, he'd have to take two or three steps to do that same thing. Because for him to jump it, crash into the set here. If he were to make the jump. But when you're a giant, you just step right on over. Because faith's not calling you back there to stay. Faith's calling you over here to go forward.
Right.
Verse 9, we see faith's dwelling. The word dwelling means to dwell permanently. Now this is interesting because the Bible says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. But he's in a tent. He ain't got a nice house, an apartment, whatever. He ain't got central air. He ain't got a beautiful furnace to take care of him in the wintertime. He ain't got a nice soft feather bed. 3 bedrooms and 2.5 baths or whatever. With an attic and a basement. He ain't got none of that. He's got a tent. And when he sets out and they go to erect the tents, he tells his servants, don't drive the stakes too deep, because tomorrow we might be pulling them up. Here comes Isaac, my boy. Here comes Jacob, my grandson. You know, as we grow through the book of Genesis and we're reading through there, it looks like there must be decades in between Abraham and Jacob being born. But actuality, when you look at the years that they were alive, they overlap by about 15 years. Do you imagine that, Miss Martha, there? You get another 15, 20 years with little Meadow there? Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it? That she just all of a sudden move in with you and you got her 15, 20 years before she moves out on her own. Child of mine, you're 16. You can move out. But here he is. But how is that a permanent dwelling? Because that's what the Bible says. He's dwelling. And that word dwelling, as it translates from the Greek, means to dwell permanently. He was permanently in a tent. There's going to be troubles, heartaches, hard times come our way permanently. Things we don't want to go through permanently. Places we have to go to every day permanently. We ain't going to be able to shake them, move past them, move beyond them. It's going to be permanent until we get to the other side. But that's where faith is calling us to dwell at. Faith does not call us to dwell solely in a field full of lilies. Faith does not call us to dwell solely on top of the mountain 365 days of the year, 24/7. Faith calls us to keep permanently moving through till we cross the Jordan River. That promised land, Abraham wasn't going to get it in his lifetime. The most that Abraham had, we find over there in the book of Genesis 23, verse 16 to 20, where he buys a burial plot for Sarah. That's it. That's all that Abraham got of Canaan land there in his lifetime. Was a place to bury his dead. Church, if faith is calling us and we're going to dwell with faith, we may not get much in this life. It may not be what we want. But if it's what God wants, it'll be worth it after a while. You know why they had that burying place there? Because they believed that when they rose up from the dead, they were going to rise again there in the promised land and receive their inheritance then. That's why it was so important to Joseph when he was dying there in Genesis chapter number 50 that they take and they bury him there back in the land of promise. They'd already carried Jacob back there. And he said, when the Lord comes and the Lord brings you up, take my bones and bury me there in Canaan land, because one day I'm going to come home there. Amen. So dwell where God's got you. Because He may have something great for you that you've got absolutely no comprehension of whatsoever. And even while you're there, it may not seem like, how can this possibly be a blessing? But if it's what God wants, it'll be a blessing. But we've got to have faith. Verse number 10. We see faith's look. For. I like that word for. That's a declaration, that word for. That means what is coming next is vitally important. For. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That word looked, when you look it up there in the original Greek, it means to eagerly expect. In other words, he knows he's got an ironclad guarantee from the very throne of heaven that there is a city that he's looking for. It's got foundations. It's got 12 foundations. It's got 12 gates. It's got a wall. It never, never, ever is dark there. Praise God. There ain't even a sun in the sky, because the sun, the S-O-N, is going to be the one who lights up the New Jerusalem all the time. And it's never, ever going to be goodbye. It's always going to be howdy, howdy over there. It's always going to be something new for us. Right. And Abraham was looking for that ultimate inheritance. I'm just passing through. I'm a pilgrim here, on my way to something far, far better. So he's looking for heaven. Let me turn over here real quickly to 2 Corinthians 5:20. I want to make sure I give you this one correctly. 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Bible says, Now then we are ambassadors as though for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Ambassadors for Christ. We talked about that back in May. Ambassadors reside somewhere, but they belong somewhere else. Here is Abraham. He says, I belong somewhere else. I'm an ambassador here, and I'm looking forward to the day when faith finally ends in sight. I'm looking forward to the day when the Lord rewards me and says, welcome home, thou good and faithful servant. I'm looking forward to the day that I receive my inheritance. I'm looking forward to what God has got here for me, because I represented Him well in the here and now. So He's looking. And while we're on the subject of looking, how do we go about looking ourselves? If we're always looking down, we're going to miss everything going on all around us. If we're always scanning the horizon for something better, we're going to miss what's right here in front of us. But if we're looking up, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, asks a very important question. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. I'm going to lift my eyes unto the hills. Why does he lift his eyes to the hills? Because he knows as he's looking up there at the tops of the hills, he's going to see the sky, and he's going to be reminded there in the sky is where his Father is. And it means he's not going to be focused on the problems of the here and now. He's looking. Are we looking? Now at the same time, we need to be careful about how we are looking. Because it's very important that we look for the right city. Jesus over in Luke chapter 17 verse 32 said, three simple words. Remember Lot's wife. 70-some women named specifically in the Old Testament. And Jesus called out Lot's wife. Why? Because she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. We're not called to look back. We've been delivered from there. We're not called to look back into the past. We no longer reside there. We're not called to live back in the past. Because He's already took care of all of that. We're called to look forward. We're called to look to Him. We're called to look by faith. Because if we look by faith, faith will one day end in sight. And isn't that what it's about for that day when faith finally ends in sight for us? I kind of like that idea. I like it a whole lot. That one day, I'm going to get to see my Father face to face. But I don't want Him to look at me and say, hurry up and get in the house before I take my shoe off and beat you with it because you were so bad down there. I don't want Him to look at me and just quick motion, get inside because He doesn't even want to speak to me. Because if that's the case, then I didn't operate by faith here. I didn't do what would be pleasing to Him here. I was just looking out for self here. And that's not what we need to do, church. I've got just two questions and a statement here in closing today. Number one, how do we stand in these three areas of looking, dwelling, and being called? Number two, do we have any missed calls from the Lord because we're dwelling in the wrong place and looking at the wrong things? My statement is simply this: faith can do a great deal if we are using it properly. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And I believe, Lord, this sermon you'd have for us to bring to your people today. We're asking the Lord, please, to help us to do a better job, all of us, to do a better job of operating in faith. Because we do want to hear, thou good and faithful servant. But not to anybody else. I mean, that's great that they hear it, but we want to hear it for ourselves. Because we want it to be true. We want to be some giants of faith here. And we're grateful, Lord, to get to see these little snapshots of what it would take to be a giant of the faith. And we're asking you, Father, please, to help us with this. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen. If you please stand.